Welcome to day 103 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and today we will read 1 Samuel chapters 18, 19, and 20, and then also Psalm 11 and Psalm 59. And this is because the Psalms were written about the same time period as the events occurring in 1 Samuel chapters 18 through 20. So since we're reading in chronological order, we try to bring those different scriptures together in the same day of reading. So in the New American Standard Bible today, we are beginning at 1 Samuel chapter 18, starting at verse 1. Now it came about, when he had finished speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as himself. Saul took him that day and did not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was on him and gave it to David with his armor, including his sword and his bow and his belt. So David went out wherever Saul sent him and prospered, and Saul set him over the men of war. And it was pleasing in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him, and he said, "They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?" Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house, while David was playing the harp with his hand as usual, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, "I will pin David to the wall." But David escaped from his presence twice. Now Saul was afraid of David, for the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from his presence and appointed him as his commander of 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. David was prospering in all his ways, for the Lord was with him. When Saul saw that he was prospering greatly, he dreaded him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, and he went out and came in before them. Then Saul said to David, "Here is my older daughter, Merab. I will give her to you as a wife. Only be a valiant man for me and fight the Lord's battles." For Saul thought, "My hand shall not be against him, but let the hand of the Philistines be against him." But David said to Saul, "Who am I, and what is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be the king's son-in-law?" So it came about at the time when Merab, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given to Adriel, the Maholathite, for a wife. Now Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. When they told Saul, the thing was agreeable to him. Saul thought, "I will give her to him that she may become a snare to him, and that the hand of the Philistines may be against him." Therefore Saul said to David, "For a second time you may be my son-in-law today." Then Saul commanded his servants, "Speak to David secretly, saying, 'Behold, the king delights in you, and all his servants love you. Now therefore become the king's son-in-law.'" So Saul's servants spoke these words to David. But David said, "Is it a trivial thing in your sight to become the king's son-in-law, since I am a poor man and lightly esteemed?" The servants of Saul reported to him according to these words which David spoke. Saul then said, "Thus you shall say to David, 'The king does not desire any dowry except 100 foreskins of the Philistines to take vengeance on the king's enemies.' Now Saul planned to make David fall by the hand of the Philistines. When his servants told David these words, it pleased David to become the king's son-in-law. Before the days had expired, David rose up and went, he and his men, and struck down 200 men among the Philistines. Then David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full number to the king, that he might become the king's son-in-law. So Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, for a wife. When Saul saw and knew that the Lord was with David and that Michal, Saul's daughter, loved him, then Saul was even more afraid of David. Thus Saul was David's enemy continually. Then the commanders of the Philistines went out to battle, and it happened as often as they went out that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. So his name was highly esteemed. Chapter 19. Now Saul told Jonathan his son and all his servants to put David to death. But Jonathan, Saul's son, greatly delighted in David. So Jonathan told David, saying, "Saul, my father, is seeking to put you to death. Now, therefore, please be on guard in the morning and stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. If I find out anything, then I will tell you." Then Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, "Do not let the king sin against his servant David, since he has not sinned against you, and since his deeds have been very beneficial to you. For he took his life in his hand and struck the Philistine, and the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. You saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood by putting David to death without a cause?" Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul vowed, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be put to death." Then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these words. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as formerly. When there was war again, David went out and fought with the Philistines and defeated them with great slaughter, so that they fled before him. Now there was an evil spirit from the Lord on Saul as he was sitting in his house with his spear in his hand, and David was playing the harp with his hand. Saul tried to pin David to the wall with the spear, but he slipped away out of Saul's presence, so that he stuck the spear into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. Then Saul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, in order to put him to death in the morning. But Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, "If you do not save your life tonight, tomorrow you will be put to death." So Michal let David down through a window, and he went out and fled and escaped. Michal took the household idol and laid it on the bed, and put a quilt of goat's hair at its head, and covered it with clothes. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, "He is sick." Then Saul sent messengers to see David, saying, "Bring him up to me on his bed, that I may put him to death." When the messengers entered, behold, the household idol was on the bed with the quilt of goat's hair at its head. So Saul said to Michal, "Why have you deceived me like this and let my enemy go so that he's escaped?" And Michal said to Saul, "He said to me, 'Let me go. Why should I put you to death?'" Now David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and stayed at Naioth. It was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah." Then Saul sent messengers to take David. But when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying with Samuel standing and presiding over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. When it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they also prophesied. So Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they also prophesied. Then he himself went to Ramah and came as far as the large well that is in Seku. And he asked and said, "Where are Samuel and David?" And someone said, "Behold, they are at Naioth in Ramah." He proceeded there to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also, so that he went along prophesying continually until he came to Naioth in Ramah. He also stripped off all his clothes, and he too prophesied before Samuel, and laid down naked all that day and all that night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? Chapter 20. Then David fled from Naioth in Ramah, and came and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity, and what is my sin before your father that he's seeking my life?" He said to him, "Far from it, you shall not die. Behold, my father does nothing, either great or small, without disclosing it to me. So why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." Yet David vowed again, saying, "Your father knows well that I have found favor in your sight, and he has said, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, or he will be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, there's hardly a step between me and death." Then Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you say, I will do for you." So David said to Jonathan, "Behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I ought to sit down to eat with the king. But let me go, that I may hide myself in the field until the third evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, 'David earnestly asked leave of me to run to Bethlehem, his city, because it is the yearly sacrifice there for the whole family.' If he says, 'It is good,' your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, know that he has decided on evil. Therefore, deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. But if there is iniquity in me, put me to death yourself, for why then should you bring me to your father?" Jonathan said, "Far be it from you, for if I should indeed learn that evil has been decided by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you about it?" Then David said to Jonathan, "Who will tell me if your father answers you harshly?" Jonathan said to David, "Come, and let us go out into the field." So both of them went out to the field. Then Jonathan said to David, "The Lord, the God of Israel, be witness. When I have sounded out my father about this time tomorrow, or the third day, behold, if there is good feeling toward David, shall I not then send to you and make it known to you? If it please my father to do you harm, may the Lord do so to Jonathan and more also, if I do not make it known to you and send you away, that you may go in safety. And may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. If I am still alive, will you not show me the loving kindness of the Lord, that I may not die? You shall not cut off your loving kindness from my house forever, not even when the Lord cuts off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth." So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, "May the Lord require it at the hands of David's enemies." Jonathan made David vow again because of his love for him, because he loved him as he loved his own life. Then Jonathan said to him, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty. When you have stayed for 3 days, you shall go down quickly and come to the place where you hid yourself on that eventful day, and you shall remain by the stone Ezel. I will shoot 3 arrows to the side, as though I shot at a target. And behold, I will send the lad, saying, 'Go find the arrows.' If I specifically say to the lad, 'Behold, the arrows are on this side of you, get them,' then come, for there is safety for you and no harm, as the Lord lives. But if I say to the youth, 'Behold, the arrows are beyond you,' go, for the Lord has sent you away. As for the agreement of which you and I have spoken, behold, the Lord is between you and me forever." So David hid in the field. And when the new moon came, the king sat down to eat food. The king sat on his seat as usual, the seat by the wall. Then Jonathan rose up, and Abner sat down by Saul's side. But David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not speak anything that day, for he thought, "It's an accident. He's not clean. Surely he's not clean." It came about the next day, the second day of the new moon, that David's place was empty. So Saul said to Jonathan, his son, "Why has the son of Jesse not come to the meal, either yesterday or today?" Jonathan then answered Saul, "David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem, for he said, 'Please let me go, since our family has a sacrifice in the city and my brother has commanded me to attend. And now, if I have found favor in your sight, please let me get away that I may see my brothers. For this reason he has not come to the king's table.'" Then Saul's anger burned against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you are choosing the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Therefore now send and bring him to me, for he must surely die." But Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Then Saul hurled his spear at him to strike him down. So Jonathan knew that his father had decided to put David to death. Then Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and did not eat food on the second day of the new moon, for he was grieved over David because his father had dishonored him. Now it came about in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field for the appointment with David, and a little lad was with him. He said to his lad, "Run, find now the arrows which I'm about to shoot." As the lad was running, he shot an arrow past him. When the lad reached the place of the arrow which Jonathan had shot, Jonathan called after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" And Jonathan called after the lad, "Hurry, be quick, do not stay." And Jonathan's lad picked up the arrow and came to his master. But the lad was not aware of anything. Only Jonathan and David knew about the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, "Go, bring them to the city." When the lad was gone, David rose from the south side and fell on his face to the ground and bowed 3 times. And they kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the more. Jonathan said to David, "Go in safety, inasmuch as we have sworn to each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord will be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants forever.'" Then he rose and departed, while Jonathan went into the city. Psalm 11. For the choir director, a psalm of David. In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, "Flee as a bird to your mountain"? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. The Lord tests the righteous and the wicked, and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked, he will rain snares. Fire and brimstone and burning wind will be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold his face. Psalm 59. Prayer for deliverance from enemies. For the choir director, set to Al-Tashheth, a miktam of David, when Saul sent men and they watched the house in order to kill him. Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Set me securely on high, away from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from those who do iniquity, and save me from men of bloodshed. For behold, they have set an ambush for my life. Fierce men launch an attack against me. Not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord, for no guilt of mine, they run and set themselves against me. Arouse yourself to help me and see. You, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to punish all the nations. Do not be gracious to any who are treacherous in iniquity. They return at evening. They howl like a dog and go around the city. Behold, they belch forth with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For they say, who hears? But you, O Lord, laugh at them. You scoff at all the nations. Because of his strength, I will watch for you, for God is my stronghold. My God, in his loving kindness, will meet me. God will let me look triumphantly upon my foes. Do not slay them, or my people will forget. Scatter them by your power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield. On account of the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be caught in their pride, and on account of curses and lies which they utter. Destroy them in wrath, destroy them that they may be no more, that men may know that God rules in Jacob to the ends of the earth. They return at evening, they howl like a dog and go around the city, they wander about for food and growl if they are not satisfied. But as for me, I shall sing of your strength. Yes, I shall joyfully sing of your loving kindness in the morning, for you have been my stronghold and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you, for God is my stronghold, the God who shows me loving kindness. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible reading, we come across some wording that may be troubling to you as you heard it being read. And it's the wording that says in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 10, "Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of his house while David was playing the harp with his hand, and a spear was in Saul's hand. Saul hurled the spear, for he thought, 'I will pin David to the wall.'" All right, I want to address this issue because if you read it just the way I did, it sounds like God sent an evil spirit to torment Saul. But the wording in the English doesn't give it the proper understanding. It would probably better have been written if it said, "The Lord allowed an evil spirit to come upon Saul." And the reason for that is this: God himself doesn't send evil spirits to torment people, but there are evil spirits that exist because of Lucifer, who was an angel in the presence of God, who rebelled against the Lord and fell, was literally cast out of heaven, and one third of the angels followed him. And it's those angels, the rebellious angels, who became demonic spirits instead of angelic spirits that worship the Lord and do his bidding. They have now become these demonic or evil spirits that do the bidding of the devil. So here is an evil spirit that does the bidding of the devil, harassing a person, in this case, the king of Israel, King Saul, and it literally caused him to rave as if he was an insane person in the midst of his house, and then it also provoked him to want to murder David. So we see this evil spirit is like a spirit of insanity, spirit of murder operating on him. But what is the cause of this, and why does it say an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul? Well, allow me to explain it in this way and then also refer to some other scriptures. Evil spirits come in the sense that they are allowed by God. In other words, that God doesn't prevent them, or God doesn't protect a person who is backslidden or disobedient or rebellious against God from being tormented or harassed or affected by an evil spirit. We know that King Saul's spiritual state at the point in which this scripture was written, the point it was describing, was that God had departed from Saul, because the next verse, verse 12, says, "Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but had departed from Saul." So first of all, we can see that the Spirit of God had departed from the king. Why did that occur? We know it was directly related to the fact that King Saul had disobeyed the Lord on numerous occasions prior to this incident. And so the Spirit of God, which had been upon King Saul when he was anointed by the prophet Samuel, when he was proclaimed to be king, the Spirit of God was mightily upon him. But then with his repeated disobedience, turning from God, doing things his own way, rebelling against what the prophet Samuel told him to do from the Lord, it says the Lord departed from Saul. So every single person on the earth has a spiritual component. We have a spirit. We actually are spirit beings that live in a physical body, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions. So every single person has a spirit or is a spirit being. And so we're moved, our spirit beings are either moved by the Spirit of God, or we're moved by whatever spirit we have given place to. In this case, King Saul had given place to the devil himself, had given place to an evil spirit, because the Lord had departed from him as a direct result of his disobedience and his turning away from following the Lord. And we see that a spirit of jealousy had gotten a hold of King Saul as well. A few verses prior, it says, "It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine," a reference to Goliath, "that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, 'Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And then the next verse tells us how that affected Saul's emotional and mental state. It says, "Then Saul became very angry, for this saying displeased him. And he said, 'They have ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they've ascribed thousands. Now what more can he have but the kingdom?' Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day onward." And the next verse says, "Now it came about on the next day that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of his house, a spear in his hand, and he thought, 'I'm going to pin David to the wall,' and he hurled his spear." Now, he was motivated by an evil spirit when he decided suddenly to throw a spear at David and kill him. The man who had been the instrumental vessel of God to bring deliverance for the army of Israel against Goliath and then against multitudes of Philistine soldiers, the king suddenly is out of his mind. He's going to kill his best, his secret weapon, so to speak. So what has happened here, and how is it that an evil spirit can actually influence a person? Well, we are told in the book of Ephesians, a very critical bit of information. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 26 and 27 in the New American Standard Version and in the Amplified Translation. It says, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity." The Amplified Translation says, "When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or indignation last until the sun goes down. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him." And then the New Living Translation tells us, "Don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil." I read you those several translations to give you the understanding that there is a way that a human being can give an opportunity or a foothold, or you could say an open door, to the devil to harass, to provoke, to influence a person through anger, fury, indignation, for not checking your anger. You know, it's human nature, human emotion to be provoked to anger when certain events occur. But the scripture tells us, if you're angry, don't sin in that anger, and definitely don't let the sun go down on your anger, meaning do not let it last a whole day where you go to bed angry and you haven't repented for your anger. And it says, don't give the devil an opportunity to what? An opportunity to get a foothold in your life, to get an influence in your life. In the case of King Saul, it says he became very angry when he heard the Israelite women rejoicing over the victory that David got against Goliath, and they are singing praises to their King Saul, but also even more praise to his number one warrior, David. Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. He became angry, and then that anger opened a door, and he didn't repent for it. He thought about it more and more and more, thought about it, became more angry, and it gave a foothold for the devil or for an evil spirit to have influence. And it says, from that day forward, he looked at David with suspicion or with a spirit of jealousy, expecting him to not only have such favor with the people that he's going to be the number one warrior they sing about, but also that he would eventually grab the throne from him. What more can he have but the kingdom? Meaning, he's going to take my throne away from me. He's going to try to usurp my position as king. He's going to try to take over. But that was not even in David's heart. It wasn't in his heart at all. He was a faithful man. He was serving Saul. He served him well. He had no such thoughts to take the kingdom away from King Saul. He was willing to wait for the Lord's perfect timing. He had been anointed king, but he wasn't trying in any way to go outside of God's will, to do anything but honor the anointed of God, which King Saul was his anointed king for that season. So it says, after his anger got riled up and he allowed the spirit of jealousy to come in, the next day, this evil spirit has him raving like a lunatic or an insane person in the middle of his house, in the castle, in the king's palace. And that's when Saul grabbed his spear and literally just flung it at David to pin him to the wall. Just a sudden, murderous action that was completely inspired by an evil spirit. We have to be careful in our lives that we keep our own spirits clean of anger, of jealousy, of anything that will give the enemy a foothold in your life. You may struggle for a few moments with thoughts of jealousy when someone else gets promoted above you. As soon as that happens, tell the Lord, God, forgive me. I do not want to have a spirit of jealousy or a thought of jealousy in my heart. I ask you to forgive me, and I pray you bless that person. Increase them even more. Be careful to guard your heart against jealousy. Be careful to guard your heart against anger. If you feel anger trying to rise up in you, immediately say, Lord, forgive me. So I don't want to have a spirit of anger in my life. Ask you to forgive me. Repent to a person. If you've spoken angry words, go and tell them, forgive me. I should never have done that. I ask you to forgive me right now. I apologize to you. Cut that thing off immediately. We don't ever want to allow our spirits to be poisoned by things that are outside the will of God, that are essentially disobedience to the Lord, that are rebellious against God, and that would give the devil an opportunity to influence us further in another negative, ungodly direction. So this incident in the Bible truly shows us something that's really important for us as believers, that we have to really guard our hearts, because the enemy's always looking for a foothold. He can't just come over you and grab you. An evil spirit cannot just take control of you. Saul was anointed of God, but he, out of his own decision, a decision of his own will, stopped obeying God, stopped repenting, stop listening to the Holy Spirit, wouldn't take counsel from Samuel, refused to do what God wanted him to do. And the more he did that, the closer he got to the devil's purpose for his life, and the farther he drifted from the Lord, till the point came where the scripture literally says the Lord had departed from Saul. And that was because Saul had departed from the Lord. That's the truth. And when that day came, this unclean spirit, this evil spirit began tormenting him and speaking to him and even speaking through him. Interesting thought, speaking through him. In this incident in 1 Samuel 18, where in verse 10, 11, and 12, where it says the evil spirit came mightily upon Saul, and the New American Standard reads, and he raved in the midst of his house. Other translations actually say, and he prophesied in the midst of his house. In other words, he's speaking out of his mouth what was coming from the influence of that evil spirit. So literally, the things he's raving are completely demonic. The things he's saying, the things he's, you could say, prophesying or speaking forth, were coming forth out of the unction or the encouragement or the prompting, is probably a better way to say it, of that evil spirit. And that's what's coming out of Saul's mouth, because he was under that spirit's influence. And that's what drove him to grab his spear and throw it at David in an attempt to murder him. So we never want to be under the influence of any spirit except the Holy Spirit. And we do that by making sure we guard our spirits. We don't allow ourselves to open any doors spiritually to anything unclean, anything from the devil, but only from what the Lord would have us be inspired by, be moved by. And we do that by keeping our heart clean, making sure we're quick to repent when the Holy Spirit shows you you've done something you shouldn't have done, or said something you shouldn't have said, or thought or something you should not have thought. And we need to repent quickly. And that way you keep a clear spirit. You make sure your heart's in a clean condition. Create in me a clean heart, O God, is how David prayed after he was in sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God. I will take not your Holy Spirit from me. That's what David prayed, because he understood that if he did not guard his heart, the Holy Spirit would depart from him. He saw it with his own eyes with King Saul. He saw that he had once been anointed with the Holy Spirit, the king, and now the Holy Spirit had departed from him. David didn't want that happening in his life. We don't want that happening in our life. Keep short accounts with God, meaning that the moment the Holy Spirit shows you something, repent. And the Lord's so faithful. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With a clean spirit, then we can keep our hearts in alignment with the Lord. And then the only spirit that can influence you or come upon you is the Holy Spirit from God, because you're keeping your heart in right relationship with the Lord. And that's so vital for us in today's society, when there's literally wicked influences all around us. The media continuously bombards people with thoughts that are not in alignment with the Word of God, with suggestions, with temptation that are far from the Lord. And to avoid that, you got to keep a pure heart, clear mind, and a spirit that's always desiring to stay in alignment with the Holy Spirit. So keep that in mind this week as you go through your week, as you interact with people, as you see things that don't line up with the Word of God. Make sure you're keeping your heart clear so that there's no foothold for the enemy to use in your life. God bless you, and I look forward to having you with me again tomorrow as we continue my Everyday Bible.